morning is number 06-4125, James Chilios against Lindsay Havener. Mr. Frutras.
Good morning. May it please the court, counsel. My name is Vasilios Futras. I represent the plaintiff in this matter, or the appellant. The reason we're here today is because the wrong standard was applied by the district court. Summary judgment standard is pretty clear. If there's a factual dispute on a material issue, you don't enter summary judgment. In this case, Judge Norgal did. It's a straightforward false arrest, excessive force claim, and the judge simply looked at this case only from the perspective of the police officer. He didn't take into account the facts that disputed anything the police officer had to say. And in the appendix, there is the, for lack of a better term, the hearing that we had on the probable cause issue, where it's clear that Judge Norgal was disregarding everything from James Chilios' perspective and looked only, and I think it was several times, the perspective of the police officer, the perspective of the police officer.
Mr. Futras, I have a question for you. I am troubled as well by what I'll call the finger poke issue, because looking at what Judge Norgal said, he seems to assume that Mr. Chilios poked his finger actually at, you know, touched Ms., Officer Sergeant Havener. But what about the other half of the case? There's another reason why perhaps there was probable cause to detain Mr. Chilios, and that's when Sergeant Havener tells him to get back here and follows up by saying, "Did you hear me?" And Chilios says something like, "Why don't you leave me alone?" And Chilios is not cooperating in a circumstance where there are gunshots that have been around, where it seems to be somewhat chaotic. People are leaving this bar and it's late at night. Is it your position that Sergeant Havener had no authority to tell, to command actually Chilios to come back so that he could pursue an investigation? Or what's your position on that?
Well, yes to that, and also,
I don't know why you would think he has no authority, since Chilios is in a good position to know something about these gunshots. You know, where might they have seemed to have been coming from, investigating, maybe people in the bar. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, police officers have to start somewhere, and it seems like Chilios is in a good spot to help.
Well, the false arrest really comes from this third interaction, and it's undisputed in the record that at that point, Sergeant Havener is simply leaning up against the wall with one leg up against the wall and his arms folded. That's not consistent with the chaotic situation that he's running around trying to control. He's just leaning up against the building with his arms folded, just watching things. And Chilios just happened to come up to him. And at that point, according to Chilios' version, which is what the district court should have credited, what happened is he said, "Why don't you go talk to that female police officer over there? Because she's got a witness saying the shooting wasn't here." And the response was undisputed, at least as far as you look at Chilios' version, is, "Get out of my face." It wasn't, "Get out of my face because I'm trying to control the crowd." He's sitting there with his arms folded, with his leg up against the wall, and saying, "Get out of my face." Chilios says, "Get out of my face," and he walks away. According to Chilios' version, which should have been credited again, as he's walking away, Havener is upset, and he's yelling, "If you walk up on me again, I'll lock," and excuse my language, "I'll lock your ass up." There's a distinction between saying, "Come back here, you're under arrest," and saying, "If you do that again, you're under arrest."
So your position is that there's a disputed issue of fact, even about what Sergeant Havener said as Chilios is walking away.
Yes, Your Honor. And not only is there a disputed fact, but even assuming that Havener said, "Get back here," he said, "Get back here," not because he was dealing with the situation, and I think that's the clear inference with the facts before the district court. It was because he supposedly was touched on the chin by Chilios, which, if you're looking at it from the proper perspective, it never happened.
So you would say that you can't separate out the poke, if you will, or the alleged poke from the later conversation?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay.
That's exactly what I'm saying, because it wasn't for any other reason that he was being told to come back here, if that's in fact what the court is going to credit. It was simply because he was supposedly touched on the chin, which would have been an aggravated battery.
Sure.
And that would have given him the authority to go after Chelios and arrest him. But if that never happened, and I think the record is clear and the district court was provided with a lot of evidence that that was in dispute, then there was no authority, there was no legal justification for having her to say, get back here. And as far as the resisting goes, the other thing was where supposedly Chelios was grabbing onto the door and trying to prevent the arrest. Well, the district court had the evidence in front of it, which was Chelios was standing, you know, in the middle of a bunch of people, which was a couple police officers. Hevener was up against the building, and the bouncer was on the other side. So Hevener has Chelios surrounded, and he walks up and he says, "Did you hear me? That's it, you're under arrest." And according to Chelios, that's when he grabbed me. So he didn't have the opportunity to try to grab a door and do whatever the district court is attributing to Chelios. It never happened, according to Chelios. So at least as far as that goes, it's clear that there's some really fundamental disputes as to what happened. Did he touch Hevener on the chin? Chelios says no. Hevener says yes. The district court credited Hevener. He shouldn't have. Was there a resisting? In other words, did Hevener say, get back here? Chelios says no. Hevener says yes. The district court credited Hevener. Did Chelios grab onto the door? Chelios, by the facts he provides, did not have the opportunity to do that. Hevener says yes. The district court again credited Hevener. If every summary judgment motion was decided in the same manner as the district court decided this one, I just don't see how in a false arrest claim that a plaintiff could ever survive it, a summary judgment, because it would just simply be a police officer walking up and saying, I saw X, Y, Z, therefore I had probable cause, case closed, summary judgment. And it doesn't matter what the witnesses say, and it doesn't matter what Chelios said, as was true here. So it was just, it's just so fundamental that what happened here was that the court completely disregarded the facts that were in the light most favorable to Chelios. And it's an objective standard. You're supposed to look at the facts in the light most favorable to the plaintiff. And it's not an objective police officer looking at it from the facts that the officer provides.
Well, that, I guess I had wondered something about that, because maybe I had misunderstood your argument, but I thought one thing that was going on here was that Hevener testified that he said, get back here, and that Chelios says something to the effect of, I never heard him say that. And, of course, it's quite possible one person could say something and yet
right.
another person might not hear it. But you
right.
don't, that's not right?
That's not what we're arguing. There was the entire conversation that was had, this third conversation, because there were the three. This third conversation was laid out before the district court. He walks up to Hevener. They have this get out of my face interchange. As Chelios is walking away, there's this, if you walk up on me again, turns the corner, and Hevener says, did you hear me? And that's when he says, you're under arrest. So that's the entire conversation, according to Chelios. And
when was the first physical, was it in your view, your client's view, is it when Hevener basically grabs Chelios? Is that the first physical?
Right. That is the first physical interaction between the two, is when Hevener grabs him and says, you're under arrest. He does it in one motion, essentially.
You did.
Yes, as far as you're reading, if you read the record. And, you know, one thing I have to address is that there's this suggestion that, well, the district court credited, you know, only Hevener's version because, the plaintiff never presented these facts for the district court. Well, that's just not true. Granted, there were some citation errors, and that was my fault. There was three exhibits, and one of them was accidentally copied twice. But still, aside from that, if you look at the specific facts where it says, for instance, Chelios, and I laid it out in my brief, Chelios denies that he ever touched Hevener. And it cites to specific portions in the record which support that contention. And if you just follow it from the material facts to that portion of the record, it's as plain as day where he says, I never touched him, or he says, you know, this is what I said, and so on and so forth. So
these are the you reproduced some of these in your brief, right?
I did, just to make it clear that the district court did not have to just wade through mountains of evidence. It wasn't a situation where the district court was just told, Chelios denies he ever touched them, see the transcript. That's not what happened. There was a specific material fact which cited specific pages in the exhibits. So it was all there for the district court if it wanted to look for it. And I see that I'm into my rebuttal time, and I'll reserve the rest of my argument to that point. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Futris. We'll hear now from Ms. Flathammer.
Good morning. May it please the Court, Mr. Futris. Your Honors, we believe that summary judgment was appropriate in this case based on the facts that were presented to the district court in response to the defendants, in this case, Lindsay Hevner and the City of Joliet's motion for the summary judgment. And counsel briefly touched on the fact that part of our argument in this case, which I also believe was supported by the amended opinion of the district court, was that the district court did not consider some of the statement of material facts that was presented.
But the district court never really says that. I'm looking at his opinion, amended opinion and order. He says he takes the undisputed facts from the local Rule 56.1 statements, but he in no way signals, as he says he's going to in that footnote, places where he sees a failure to contest the facts. And instead, he just, you know, he assumes, for example, that this poke, you know, that we have a federal case over, occurred. If he had said something like, I'm going to enforce Rule 56.1 to the letter, and I don't think Mr. Chelios' response complied, that would be our issue on appeal, I assume, whether it applied. But he doesn't say that.
No, he doesn't. He does not come out specifically and say that, but I think you can conclude.
And so why should we bounce Mr. Chelios out of court for something the district court isn't complaining about?
Well, I believe that they are, Your Honor, in the fact that in their footnote and specifically within the facts that they refer to, they are clearly addressing only
There's
undisputed.
There's nothing clear about it, please.
Okay. They are addressing the undisputed facts. And I say that because when you look at the recitation of the facts, they do specifically put in there where there was a dispute in facts in regard to how Mr. Chelios was arrested in regard to the excessive force.
That actually causes me to have less rather than more confidence in what the district court has done, because instead of saying, here are the paragraphs that I'm accepting from Rule 56.1 that are enough to raise a disputed issue of fact, here are others where, whatever, you know, I'm not finding enough specificity, different kinds of problems the judges have. I think the judge just, you know, randomly accepted Sergeant Hevner's position, and this is summary judgment.
Your Honor, I'd further go on to say that we did object to the statement of material facts in regard to most of the paragraphs that were provided by Mr. Futris, or by the plaintiff in this case, because the citations to the exhibits to support those material facts did not, in fact, support those facts. So therefore, they could not be determined to be evidence in the record as would be considered by summary judgment, and therefore would leave our statement of material facts to be undisputed and deemed admissible in this case.
Well, I wonder if you could look at page 17 and 18 of Mr. Chelios' opening brief. That's where he's giving us, actually it goes on for a while, 19, 20. He gives these citations, and it seems to me that both the poke and the nature of the conversation are, in fact, contested. And this is one of those cases that I think it's really a shame, actually, the district court didn't just go to trial a week later. Neither one of you would be here. The jury would have believed somebody else wouldn't have been believed.
In response to that, Your Honor, I would submit to the court that specifically on page 17, there is no reference in the plaintiff's statement of material facts to that paragraph where they recite the question and answer. That was not a statement of material fact that was presented before the district court. And within the brief that is presented to this court, there are several areas where different versions or recitations of testimony are presented before you that were not presented before the district court as part of the statement of material facts to be considered by the district court when it determined whether or not summary judgment was appropriate.
I guess I'll get back to my other point, which is just if the district court in any way had spelled out what you're saying, this for me would be quite a different case. But the district court doesn't so much as hint at a problem with the Rule 56.1 statement. This is a lot of inference you're asking us to engage in. I mean, other than the procedural points, do you have any argument here? Because it seems to me Mr. Futris has suggested a number of very important disputes in fact.
Well, I don't believe there is a dispute in fact that was presented before the district court.
Well, as I said, other than your procedural point, which I understand what you're saying, but if for some reason we weren't to be persuaded by that, do you have any other argument?
Well, Your Honor, based on the ruling of the district court in regard to whether or not the probable cause existed for the arrest, we do believe that based on the facts that were presented, again, that there was not an issue of material fact, and therefore granting of summary judgment was appropriate.
So what facts amounted to probable cause that were undisputed?
Well, as were presented before the district court?
No, that were undisputed. Well, again, if I didn't agree with your procedural point about whether Mr. Chelios's points were there, if we take this record in the light most favorable to him, are you able somehow to argue that there's still probable cause to arrest?
The record that was presented before the district court for summary judgment, yes, Your Honor.
No, I mean, if you take the facts that there's no poke, that Mr. Chelios never touches the door, that there is, you know, this get-out-of-my-face exchange. On those facts, is there any probable cause?
We admitted in the statement of material facts that Sergeant Heverner did tell him to get out of his face and that there was that exchange about getting back here.
And would there be probable cause if there was no poke, no touching the door, and no failure to respond to a command to come back?
Without those things,
no. Without those facts, okay.
In regard to the excessive force, Your Honor, argument, the court clearly did, which is also, and I won't use the word clearly, the district court in determining the issue of excessive force specifically stated there that there was a dispute of the facts in regard to how that occurred, which I believe reinforces the argument that they did take strict compliance with Rule 56.1 in this case and disregard the facts that were not supported. They state specifically there that there's a discrepancy in how the takedown of Mr. Chelios and the arrest of him occurred. And they specifically viewed the evidence in that area in the light most favorable to Mr. Chelios in that case, taking the facts that they, as he alleges them, that they grabbed him by the shoulder, spun him around, and threw him to the ground, that even considering those facts, that it was not excessive force in this case based on the circumstances that the officers were presented with on this particular night, which was approximately 2:30 in the morning at a bar where the officers were responding to gunshots being fired for a second time on that evening in that location, that there was a lot of activity going on in the parking lot, there was a fight that had taken place, and that based on all of that, that the appropriate response of the officers of taking him down, even in the manner that Mr. Chelios described, was not excessive force in this case.
Well, those facts were before the court then.
Pardon me?
Those facts were before the court.
Yes, Your Honor.
How did that detail get there without what happened just a minute before? That's kind of curious.
My point was that the district court, in its opinion, noted specifically that there was a disputed fact there, and my argument being that the fact in regard to how Mr. Chelios was taken down was supported by the exhibit presented in the statement of material fact. Therefore, the district court found that there was a dispute between the parties as to how that took place.
But not what happened 1 minute before that.
Not what happened before, because the statement of material facts presented by the plaintiff was not supported by the exhibits that he presented to the district court, and therefore the district court did not consider those facts as evidence before it when it decided the motion for summary judgment. Based on the foregoing reasons, I would ask the court to uphold the decision of the district court and affirm the summary judgment. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Flathammer. How much time does Mr. Futras have? Thank you.
I'd just like to address the excessive force issue. I don't believe the district court's opinion shows that it took the 50 or disregarded the 56.1 statement that was submitted by the plaintiff in its ruling on excessive force. That's simply because in deciding the excessive force issue, the court said that Chelios committed an aggravated battery and it was a chaotic situation, and therefore under those circumstances, Hevener, along with two other police officers, and also that Chelios impeded the arrest and resisted the arrest and tried to grab onto the door, and based on those facts, it was okay for Hevener to do what he did. So that does
so
not...
So you're looking on page 9, the court says, has the officer exceeded his authority? Here the court finds that Hevener has not. Chelios had poked Hevener in the chin, yelled at him at close range, and was accompanied by Moulton, the bouncer, etc. So that's
right. Okay. And that's what the excessive force ruling was based on. It was based on everything that the court had already ruled on with respect to the false arrest. So instead of actually showing that the court disregarded the 50, or, you know, just struck the 56.1 statement of Chelios, what it actually does is reinforces the fact that the court just completely disregarded everything Chelios had to say.
But it seems odd that the court would, I mean, you know, if it was properly before the court, we don't assume the district judges just put in a file cabinet, you know, a Rule 56.1 statement.
Right. Well, what I think it was the hearing that was had, that hearing in September, where the court was just harping on the perspective of the police officer, And I think the district court was taking a subjective analysis when it should have been taking an objective analysis. And that's really why we're here. And as far, and just to, not to belabor the point, but as far as that 56.1 statement goes, yes, the defendants did object to what Chelios had filed, but merely objecting to something doesn't mean that it's not admissible, and it doesn't mean that the court cannot consider it. It was still properly before the court. And, you know, and just to point out to the court, the specific, to make it clearer for the court, in my reply brief, I did point out the specific material facts paragraphs and the citations in those paragraphs, for instance, where it says, before his arrest, never physically touched Hevener, was in paragraph 26, and then
what
I say...
What page are you looking at?
Page 2 of my reply brief, for instance, Your Honor,
okay,
is where I say, you know, before his arrest, Chelios never physically touched Hevener. That was the fact that was presented to the court, which was objected to by the defendants, and it cited Exhibit 2, pages 39, 40, 78, and 96, and I've laid out exactly what those pages say in the record. So,
well, you say that in this, what I have here is plaintiff's additional material facts in response to the defendant's motion for summary judgment.
I'm sorry?
That's your filing, isn't it?
Yes, Your Honor.
And you say that you do the same thing. Before his arrest, Chelios never physically touched Hevener.
That was the specific fact, yes, Your Honor.
Exhibit 1, page 87. Right?
That's right. And then I
did you want to say Hevener never told Chelios that he was under arrest before grabbing Chelios? In addition, before being grabbed, Chelios did not mislead any police officer. Also, Chelios did not resist. And then you refer to the exhibits and pages. Now,
it was plain as day to the district
court. When did the court get that?
I'm sorry?
When did the court get this?
That was contemporaneously with my response to the motion for summary judgment. It was filed at the same time.
So all this is before the court as far as you're concerned?
Yes, Your Honor. So given that, Your Honor, unless there's any further questions, I ask that the district court's decision be reversed in its entirety. Thank you.
Thank you.